You are listening to the CMC Podcast. Join us each week for messages designed to equip, inspire, and motivate. And now for today's message from Pastor Tim Brooks.
Turn to Luke chapter 17, verse 32. I am excited about what I want to share with you today. We're reading the red letters in the Bible. Jesus is talking here. Luke chapter 17, verse 32. Look at this with me. It says, remember what happened to Lot's wife. That's it. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, and I'm sure it is yours as well. You probably have a favorite t-shirt with that verse on that t-shirt. I'm sure you all have refrigerator magnets on your refrigerator. That verse is on your makeup mirror that says, remember Lot's wife, or maybe on a coffee mug. The title of the message today comes from this most popular verse in Scripture, remember Lot's wife. For those very few in here who this may not be your favorite verse, in fact, you don't even have any idea who Lot's wife was. You can't ever remember. I've read the Bible my whole life and I've never seen this verse in the Bible. We want to take a little bit of time and go back and have a little history lesson before I get to my sermon today. So go to Genesis chapter 12 and let's have a quick history lesson here to bring us up to speed. And then in a couple of hours, I'll finally get around to the sermon. Genesis chapter 12, verse 4. Abram departed with the Lord as the Lord had instructed, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. He took his wife Sarah and his nephew Lot, and all of his wealth, his livestock, and all the people he had taken to his household at Haran, and he headed for the land of Canaan. Drop down to verse 10. At that time, a severe famine struck the land of Canaan, forcing Abram to go down to Egypt, where he lived as a foreigner. All right, we're just highlighting the scripture here. I'm not reading this whole event to you. Go to chapter 13, verse 5. Lot, who was traveling with Abram, also had become very wealthy with flocks of sheep, goats, herds of cattle, and many tents. But the land couldn't support both Abram and Lot, all their flocks and herds living so close together. Verse 7. So disputes broke out between the herdsmen of Abram and Lot. Verse 8. Finally, Abram said to Lot, let's not allow this conflict to come between us and our herdsmen. After all, we are close relatives. The whole country is wide open to you. Take your choice of any section of the land you want, and we will separate. If you want the land to the left, then I'll take the land on the right. If you prefer the land on the right, then I'll go to the left. Lot took a long look at the fertile plains of the Jordan Valley in the direction of Zoar. The whole area was well watered everywhere, like garden the Lord, a beautiful land of Egypt before the Lord had destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot chose for himself the whole Jordan Valley to the east of them. He went there with his flocks and servants and parted company with his uncle Abram. All right, land couldn't sustain Lot and his flocks and Abram his flocks. Disputes with their employees, how we're grazing and whose right it was to graze what herd. Lot chose the valley of the Jordan. Let's get to verse 13. But the people of this area were extremely wicked and constantly sinned against the Lord. It's probably not what you want your area to be noted for. Extremely wicked and constantly sinning. Perversion, wickedness is a bad deal. Now hold your place there because we're coming all back and forth. Flip over to chapter 19, Genesis chapter 19, verse 1. That evening, two angels came to the entrance of the city of Sodom. Lot was sitting there, and when he saw them, he stood up to meet them. Then he welcomed them and bowed with his face to the ground. All right, now I'm not going to take time today. It's pretty graphic and it's pretty wicked. But you can read verse 2 all the way down through verse 11. We're talking homosexuality, wicked sexual perversions. This was a bad deal. God had had enough. Now I want you to see this. Absolutely, God's grace, God's love, God's mercy. But here's what I want you to always know. God hates sin. He hates sin. He hates sin. And God does not allow perversion and wickedness and sin to prosper. He never has and he never will. Now, God's going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. He sends two angels to get Lot and his family out. Let's read the story. Genesis chapter 19, verse 12. Meanwhile, the angels question Lot. "Do you have any other relatives here in the city?" they ask. "Get them out of this place. Your sons-in-laws, daughters, sons, anyone else. For we are about to destroy this city completely. The outcry against this place is so great it has reached the Lord. He has sent us to destroy it." So Lot rushed out to tell his daughters, fiancés, "Quick, get out of this city. The Lord's about to destroy it." But the young men thought he was only joking. Verse 15. At dawn the next morning, the angels came insistent. "Hurry," they said to Lot, "take your wife and your two daughters who are here. Get out right now or you will be swept away in the destruction of this city." When Lot still hesitated, the angel seized his hand, the hands of his wife and two daughters, and rushed them to safety outside the city, for the Lord was merciful. When they were safely out of the city, one of the angels ordered, "Run for your lives and don't look back or stop anywhere in the valley. Escape to the mountains or you will be swept away." Drop down to verse 23. Lot reached the village just as the sun was rising over the horizon. The Lord rained down fire, burning sulfur from the sky on Sodom and Gomorrah. He utterly destroyed them along with all the other cities and villages of the plain, wiping out all the people and every bit of vegetation. Verse 26, but Lot's wife looked back as she was following behind him, and she turned into a pillar of salt. Here is the only thing that we know anywhere in historical records about Lot's wife. That's it right there. The only thing we know about Lot's wife is she looked back and was turned into a pillar of salt. She looked back and she lost her life with the wicked. And that's the story of Lot's wife. That's it. That's it. That's all. We don't even know the lady's name. That's her story. Now, Jesus comes along and he says, remember. Now, think about in all your reading in the Bible, how many great women there were in the Bible. How many great women that did great things in the Bible. There's a lot of great women in the pages of Scripture. And here's what Jesus says. Remember Lot's wife. Now, I don't know about you, but that strikes me as very strange. When we don't know anything, we don't even know the lady's name. All we know is she looked back and was turned into a pillar of salt. If Jesus tells us to remember Lot's wife, I say we probably ought to remember the lady. As pastor of this church, I think I probably ought to preach about the lady. Now, I don't have a lot to say about her, but as pastors do, I'm going to drag out this one scripture for a couple hours here. But that's all we know about her. But Jesus tells us we got to remember that now all the great ladies in the Bible, and Jesus says, remember Lot's wife. All right, go back to chapter 13. And let's try to pull this together. Verse 12. Abram settled in the land of Canaan, and Lot moved his tents to a place near Sodom and settled among the cities of the plain. All right, now Lot moved his tent to a place near Sodom and settled among these cities. It's not so much as the location, but it's the people that he chose to surround himself with. Because it reads, but the people of this area, Lot settled in the land of Canaan. Abram settled in the land of Canaan. Lot moved his tents to a place near Sodom. Now, it doesn't tell us much about the area. And then it says, but the people. We're not talking about the area. We're talking about the people that Lot chose to surround himself with. But the people of this area, they weren't wicked. They were extremely wicked. They didn't just mess up a little bit. They were continually in sin. Now, he surrounded himself, his children, his wife, with people who were extremely wicked and constantly sinning. Now, you can write this down. I've read 6,000 years of human history, and it's only a matter of time till God's judgment comes on wickedness and sin. And you can think you're having fun if you want to, but God's judgment always comes. It just always does. And here is where Lot chose to live. Here's where Lot chose to raise his kids. Here's where Lot chose to get his best friends. Here's where Lot chose to entertain himself. Here's where Lot chose to build his business. This was the place that he centered himself and his family and surrounded himself with. Now, it's very interesting to me because I've looked everywhere. The Bible never says Lot was a bad guy. Lot was a good man. The Bible never ever says Lot's wife was a pervert. It never says Lot's wife was a sinner. It never says Lot's wife made any mistakes. Fact is, it never says his daughters, his son-in-laws were sinners or wicked. In fact, there's not a negative word said about any of Lot's family. What happened? Lot's wife, daughters, daughters, fiancés had clearly worked out a comfortable existence in the midst of wickedness. It's not that bad. Everybody's doing it. Oh, come on, Dad. Everybody's doing this. Dad, everybody at school does this. God, everybody, oh, come on. Everybody acts like this. Well, all my friends, everybody around here, that happens at every party I go to. That's the way we live here. See, we work out a comfortable existence with wickedness. And people, no matter how bad it is, tend to get okay with extreme wickedness, extreme perversion. And people tend to get okay with it. Genesis chapter 19, verse 14. Lot rushed out to tell his daughters and fiancé, come on, quick, get out of the city. The Lord's about to destroy this. The young men thought he was, you got to be kidding me. Oh, seriously. God is a God of love. God loves everybody. God's a God of mercy. Jesus loved, oh, everybody. God, y'all, all right, come on, you got to be joking. They thought he was joking, rolling their eyes and smirking. Man, God don't like this, guys. We got to get out of here. Oh, come on. God don't care. You got to be joking. Verse 17, run for your life. Get out of this place. God's judgment is going to reign. Leave your agenda. Leave your schedule. Leave your friends. Leave your plant. Let me ask you. Have you ever been in a place that you needed to get out of? Yep. Should never been there. You've been in a place, you need to get out of here. And you knew you needed to get out of here. But when somebody tries to tell you, when your mom, when your dad, when your grandmom was, hey, you need to get out. Oh, okay. Oh, it's all right. It's all right. Yeah, you're joking me. Chapter 17, verse 28 of Luke. It's interesting. Luke chapter, I want you to turn there. I was going to just refer to it. Luke chapter 17, verse 28. You better get out of Sodom and Gomorrah. When you hear the word Sodom and Gomorrah, what do you think about? Sin. Wickedness. I mean, that's the first thought in our mind. When you hear the word Sodom and Gomorrah, you think about sin and wickedness. Very interesting. Here's what Jesus said about Sodom and Gomorrah. Chapter 17, verse 28. The world will be as it was in the day. This is Jesus, as it was in the days of Lot. People went about their daily business, eating, drinking, buying, selling, farming, and building. Wow. Wow. Just a normal day for the wicked. It's just a normal day. Jesus said, look, it's they just buying and selling and doing, oh, come on, good grief, that's no big deal. We just buying and selling and we're building houses and we're doing our thing and we're paying our bills and raising our eating, drinking, buying, selling, for just a normal existence in a wicked city. And we have to see this. We have to see this. Business went on as usual until, verse 28, and the Lord be his days a lot. People went about their daily business, eating and drinking, buying, selling, farming and building, until the morning Lot left Sodom, and then fire, brimstone rains. Let me just tell you, it'll be business as usual in your life until God's judgment rains on you. And you think it ain't no big deal, and you laugh and you mock at people who try to tell you you're in sin, and you roll your eyes, it's no big deal, and it's just business as usual until the judgment of the Lord comes. Whoa! Then you wait a little late. Never mistake business as usual with God being okay with sin. Business as usual. Never, and this is where we are today. Never mistake business as usual with God being okay with sin and wickedness. Business was going on, people buying, selling, farming, doing their thing, but God is not okay with sin. Now, I went through this historical event just to get us to the place where we had a little background here. Now, I'm ready to start the sermon. Who is Jesus telling his disciples, that'd be us, about in Luke 17:32 when he says, remember Lot's wife? Who is this woman that's never mentioned by name? What is her profound importance that Jesus would want all of us to remember who she is? We think of many, many great women in the Bible and their profound impact on the kingdom of God. And Jesus wants us to remember Lot's wife, who doesn't even have a name. What do I know about her? She was taken out of wickedness. She was saved from fire and brimstone. She was saved from God's judgment. Her life was spared. She was delivered. And she looked back. That's all I know about her. She was saved from judgment. She was saved from fire and brimstone. She was saved from the penalty of sin in her life. She was delivered. And she looked back. That's all I know about her. And Jesus tells us to remember. Remember her. If you look in Luke chapter 9, verse 62, familiar scripture, Jesus told him, anyone who puts his hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Clearly, church, looking back is a problem causer. Looking back is a problem causer in our lives. I know today, probably most everybody in here has left Sodom and Gomorrah. Most everybody in here, you've asked Jesus in your heart at one time or another. You're saved. You've escaped the judgment of God on sin. God's forgiven you. You're here today and you're saved. The point is, God does not want, nor will he be okay, delivering his kids and them looking back. God's not all right with that. God's not all right with delivering you and then you turn around and looking back. We all know God wants to bless us. We know God is faithful. God says his kids will never be out begging for bread. We know God finishes what he starts. We know God's hand is on us. Yet in our lives, the least bit of problem, the least bit of trouble comes. Hard times come, pressures come, financial comes, whatever. Pressures in our life come. And at that moment, we look back. And it is the tendency of all mankind to do that. That's why Jesus tells us, don't look back. That's why Jesus is saying, remember Lot's wife, because the tendency you will face is to always look back. I mean, we can go back several thousand years. Moses led 3 million people out of slavery. Miracles, 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 powerful miracles. God led them out of slavery. Pharaoh changed his mind, chases after them. God parted the sea. The kids walked across on dry ground. God drowned Pharaoh and all of his army. My goodness, I'm telling you, miracle after miracle, God delivered them. Yet at every pressure point in their life, what they want to do? At every turn in their life, what was their solution? They got, let's go back to Egypt. Let's elect a leader and go back to Egypt. At every problem in their life, what do they want to do? They want to turn around and go back. They want to turn around and go back. And then we hear them say, well, at least we had meat in Egypt. At least we had meat in Egypt. We're out here going to die. At every pressure in their life. Wow. Over and over and over we read in Exodus, the people would complain and wanted to go back to Egypt. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 tells us, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. God delivers us. And to be his disciple, church, we got to look ahead. Paul says in Philippians, forget those things behind and I press forward those things ahead. Jesus tells us to remember Lot's wife. The sermon today is this. If you look back, if you fix your gaze on what you left, you will turn into a pillar of salt and you will never move another step forward in your life. Let me ask today, church. Let me ask you. When crisis hits, when pressure hits, when conflict comes, how do you handle it? As someone who's been delivered, as someone who has been set free, when pressure comes, how do you handle it? When you have a conflict with your wife, when you have a conflict with your husband, when you have a conflict with your teenager, how do you handle that? When you have pressure at work, when you have stress on the job, how do you handle that? Too often, those that have been delivered will handle it by looking back. Go get me a 6-pack or a 12-pack. Let me go. I'm going to go. How do we handle that? Too often we start yelling and screaming and using profanity. What? A Christian? One who is delivered is using profanity? Because you got mad on the job? Well, you're using what word? What happens to us? We start looking back. We start looking back. You have a pressure or a problem, what do? Flip somebody off, get in your car, spin gravel all over the pavement and all over the side of the house. Whoa, what are you doing here? You've been delivered. You've been set free. Why are you going back and acting like that? What? See, you don't look back to your former way of life to handle situations now. I'm delivered. I'm set free. I'm set free from the judgment of fire and brimstone in my life. Jesus forgave me. Now, I don't look back to the way I once was and handle my pressure like I used to. Deal with my children like I used to. Respond to coworkers like I used to. I don't relax and entertain like I used to. I've had a hard week. I believe I'll just stop by the convenience store and get me a 12-pack and I'm just going to relax tonight. I'm going to just relax. I don't relax like I used to. Are you here in this church? You don't look back. You don't look back to your former life. Jesus says, remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's back. Here's what happens. Today, we're looking back and we're seeing injustices. We're seeing wrongs that were done. And now we're using those as an excuse for our wrong behavior right now. Our wrong thinking right now. And I'm just not a big fan on talking about wrongs done to you 20 years ago. I'm not a big fan talking about wrongs done to you when you were a child 40 years ago. I'm just not a big fan about talking about wrongs done to your great, 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 great grandfather as an excuse to why you are now a jerk. Because of some wrong that happened 200 years ago in your life. See, using that as a tool to justify where we are today will turn you into a pillar of salt and you will stay right there and you'll never advance into the life that God was leading you to. Am I preaching better than y'all are listening? For those awake, this is good. You're delivered and you're set free. Jesus took you by the hand and led you out. Now you got to let old things pass away. And you reach for what's lying ahead. You reach for what's lying ahead. And Jesus says, always remember Lot's wife. As we study the teachings of Jesus, I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but I think about it. Never, ever, not one time ever, did Jesus talk about or mention or bring up what Peter did when he was a teenager. Not one time did he hang that over his head. Not one time did he go back and have a private investigator firm check out what Peter did when he was a teenager, and now that disqualifies him for being a disciple. I'm just saying. You know, not one time did Jesus ever talk about what John did 25 years ago. Not one time did I read about Jesus bringing up and throwing in the face of Andrew what he did 30 years ago. Not one time did I ever hear Jesus mention what Andrew did. Not one time do I ever hear Jesus talk to James and say, well, I understand because your dad never came to any of your football games. So I'm just going to let you live in sin and act like a jerk. Jesus didn't let you act like a jerk because your dad never came to your football game in junior high school. I don't ever read Jesus doing that. Whenever Peter took his eyes off Jesus and began to sink, Jesus talked to him about his faith and keeping his eyes on him. He didn't talk to him about what happened when he was in his mama's womb. Come on. Jesus wants to change your life. He wants to change your life. He wants to lead you out of where you used to be. He wants to take you by the hand and he wants to run you toward a life. He wants to run you to a blessed place, a life flowing with milk and honey. God's got great things in store for you. God's got great things in store for your life. And he grabbed you by the hand and says, let's get out of this place. Church, don't look back. Come on, you can't look back. We just can't do that. We cannot look back. Jesus didn't look back in our life. Jesus didn't bring up the disciples' past. He didn't wallow in the disciples' past. And Jesus never discredited anybody because of what they did or didn't do when they were a kid. Jesus never discredited anybody for their lack of education. He never discredited anybody for what they did or what they said or the way they acted. He gave them a brand new life and a brand new start. And every time Jesus opened his mouth to the disciples, it was telling them, here's what you now think. Here's the way you now do. Here's the way you now do. Here's the way we're going. Here's what's happening in your life. Now, if Jesus never discredited any of his disciples in any way because of their past, how can you discredit yourself today? How can you look at yourself and say, I'm not worthy? How can you look at yourself and say, I'm not good enough? How can you say, Tim, you don't have any idea what I did in my past? How can you look at yourself and say, you don't know what I've done? You don't know. How can you discredit yourself when Jesus never discredits you? What we've got to do is look through the eyes of Jesus where one another are concerned. And I see you as born again. I see you as set free. I see you as healed in the name of Jesus. I see you on the road to what God has for you. I don't see what you did or didn't do or what you should have said or what you shouldn't have done. I don't see none of that. I see a plan that God has for you in the future. And if Jesus doesn't discredit you, how can you discredit yourself? Here's what you better do. You better not look back. What you need to do is remember Lot's wife. Jesus says, remember Lot's wife. We just can't look back. Because for all of us, there's some bad things over our shoulder. There's some bad things in our past. For all of us, we've got some things that we've gone through that are not pleasant to talk about. For all of us, we've got some very embarrassing moments in our past. For all of us, we got all of that in our past. Jesus says, remember Lot's wife. Every day, you remember Lot's wife. Every day you wake up, you remember Lot's wife. She looked back. And it stopped her. When she looked back, that was the last step forward she took. When she looked back, that was the last step forward she took. I'll never forget years ago sitting around my grandmother's table. That generation is gone, but her and her sisters would go on and on and on. Did it all the time. On and on and on. I remember when bread was 5 cents a loaf. And the other one, as soon as that one would say that, yeah, because they did this all the time. I remember when milk was 10 cents a gallon and they would bring it and set it on our doorstep. They delivered milk to you. I remember when eggs were 5 cents a dozen. The next one. I remember when gas was 15 cents a gallon. This would go on and on and on. My cousin, he's a character. He and I are little kids. We're just sitting there and we listen to this all the time with my grandmother and her sisters, remembering when bread was a nickel a loaf. We heard it say, finally my cousin has all he can take. And he says to them, yeah, and you worked all week long for $5. You made $1 a day. Boy, it got quiet as it did right here. You know, we all do that. We look back and remember the good times. You look back and you remember the fun parties and the good old days. Nobody looks back and remembers your head in the toilet. Nobody looks back and remembers the police chasing you. Nobody looks back and remembers whenever car lights drove up the line, you were throwing things under the cabinet, under the mattress, and you were hiding, you were running, you were scrambling around like a bunch of mice with the light just turned on, trying to hide. Nobody remembers those days. Nobody remembers the days of every time you saw a car parked sideways, you hit your brakes. You didn't know if it was a police or not, but you knew you were guilty. It's a subtle trick. It's a subtle trick. Even God's kids, delivered from the bondage and the brutality of Pharaoh and his army, and all they could do. We had meat back there. Well, at least we had meat to eat in Egypt. The brutality that they were under as slaves, yet they wanted to go back to Egypt at every turn. We do that. We look back over our shoulder and, oh, we start laughing and telling about the fun parties we had, telling about how we used to do this. We'd buy buddies, we'd get together. Yeah, and you were miserable. You were miserable. It's a subtle trick. Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. Run, flee from your old manner of life. Run and flee from your past. Don't look back. You press for what lies ahead. Church, let God deal with Sodom and Gomorrah. That's not your deal. Let God deal with Sodom and Gomorrah. You run ahead to what God has for you. You run ahead for what God has for you. Philippians 3:13. No, dear brothers and sisters, I hadn't achieved it. I'm not there, but here's what I focus on. I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past. And I look forward to what lies ahead. Today, we're not here to ever focus on your past. We're not here to remember, and we're not here to talk about your past. Today, we're here to talk about what lies ahead for you and the great things that God has in store for you from this point forward. Jesus said, remember Lot's wife? Today, church, don't look back. You need to remember Lot's wife. Y'all stand. Lord, today we thank you for your word of direction for us. Lord, that we not wallow in our past, that we not look back in our past life and remember things not as they really were. God, today, we don't look back. Today, we look forward to the life that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
You have been listening to the CMC podcast. For more information about CMC, our different conferences, Christian school, college internship, resources, and more, go to cmchurch.com.